Hello, welcome to Spotlight, putting an arty bauble on top of your hand-knitted Christmas tree.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, it may be just coming up to Christmas, but the deadline for entries to next year's Guild is fast approaching. A cruise around the world of music with the Shimmers. And more on that wonderful project to create the first Manx language opera. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in planning, hoping to create or would really like to put in that spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, opera, sculpture, drag, film, on it goes, you know the list. You've probably got more I don't even know exists, so why not get in touch to tell me about it? Howard Kane, with an E, at manxradio.com, or spotlight, don't think there is an E in that, is there, at manxradio.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's get you featured on the programme. Now, I don't want to rush you through the remainder of the year too quickly. Lord knows there's not much left. But would you believe the deadline for entries to next year's Manx Music Festival, a.k.a. the Guild, of course, is just a few weeks away, as Festival Secretary Sandra Loach reminded me when I caught up with her recently.
Well, it's very nearly Christmas, and then straight after Christmas, 31st of January, that's your deadline.
Does it catch lots of people out every year still?
Yes, it does. The flurry of entries usually happen just before the deadline, and then on that last day, most of the entries come in. I don't know why people leave it to the last minute. I don't think if we move the deadline any further back, it would make any difference. I think they'd still be at the last minute. But yeah, it's what happens. We're ready for it. We know what happens.
And when it comes to the syllabus, is it one of these jobs where you're virtually, as soon as one guild's finished, you're looking at the syllabus for the following year?
Start looking at the syllabus before the next festival even starts, to be honest with you, because we start to look at what's happened with the entries. So if we've got classes where there's been consistently no entries for a few years, so do we need to have that in the next syllabus? And then actually as the festival's running, we're looking at it going, that class isn't working so well, there's something not quite right there, or maybe someone's managed to get away around the rules that we hadn't thought of, and again we start to tighten the rules up. So yeah, the planning for the following year, including the syllabus, starts actually before each festival.
Has the whole committee looked at this?
No. I tend to do a lot of it. And then obviously Anne, who's been our chairman for the past couple of years, the past few years, she does a lot of that as well and feeds into it. And then I get feedback from the others. I'll go back and say, look, I've discovered this. What do you think? And then it's a collective decision when we start to change things. But that kind of looking at it and early on stuff is all done by me.
And of course, the thing is with something like the Guild, which is so embedded in Manx culture and been going for so long, of course, you know, you can't expect all the classes to be just as popular now that maybe were popular in the 1920s or 30s.
Yeah, and that's absolutely what we're finding. Obviously, we've still got all our foreign art song classes, our, you know, the British composers, the American art song, all of those. We've got those sort of older style classes still that were there previously, the leader, that kind of thing. But then when you look at the younger generation where they're competing, the classes they're most interested in are things like songs from the musicals, which we've actually renamed this year to songs from the shows. That's becoming much more popular. In fact, that we've had to split one of the junior classes that we started even just a year ago, we've split that into two because there were so many entries for that one class. It went on all afternoon. So those are the kind of songs and the kind of classes that they're wanting to compete in. So we're trying to make sure that we keep the younger generation interested without losing the people who are used to the more traditional classes, audience-wise and people entering as well.
And what about, I know again we were just talking beforehand before we started recording, sort of moving, and it is so difficult to move with the times whilst honouring the tradition of something like the Guild, which again, you know, you and I and so many others grew up with as part of our childhoods. And I'm thinking in the last few years there have been new classes like, you know, the stand-up comedy class and I think a drag class, and yeah. I suppose you don't really know until you try these things.
Yeah, so unfortunately, those two classes, they were fantastic, brilliant ideas behind both of them, but they didn't take off in quite the way that we had hoped they would. So you'll find for 2026, we have dropped both of those classes for the time being. But we've got a couple of new classes, and we've revamped a couple of other classes as well. We're actually doing a special Eurovision Song Contest class this year, for 2026, because it's the 75th anniversary of Eurovision. So it's a one-off. It's the final Saturday evening in the Royal Hall. It's an adult-only class. It's not a junior class. But in the spirit of the Eurovision, so it has to be a song that was in the Eurovision Song Contest over those 75 years. It doesn't matter if it was a winner or not, it could be just a song you heard that you liked. But that's us trying to kind of keep a fresher element in there and like you say, modernise the festival as we go, but without getting rid of everything that it's been built on over the years.
And if new classes, because as you say, until you try them, I suppose it's very difficult to know. If they are dropped, does that mean they're dropped forever or sort of put on ice and who knows, they might come back?
Yeah, not necessarily. It could be, like you say, that they're put on ice. If we got a strong contingent of people saying, look, we really want the stand-up comedy to come back or we want the drag class back or whatever, then we might review those in the future and any other class that we might have dropped for now. Things like some of the instrumental ensemble classes, we're not running all of those this year because they haven't had people entering them. But again, if we got enough people saying, look, we'd like to enter it, we would think about bringing it back. The problem that we have is that we only have a finite number of venues and we've got the 8 days, they're quite full already. So one of my tasks after the entries close in January, or the end of January, start of February, is to look at all the entries and then revamp the timetable. So the syllabus goes out in October with a timetable in it, and it says on it that it's draft. Because what I have to do is look at it and go, well, actually, that class has got nobody in it. I need to move that around, or that class is now too big for where it is within the timetable. I need to move that and put it somewhere else. So there's a finalised timetable always goes out towards the end of February, and that's what goes in the programme. Because it's a balancing act. So if we introduce loads of new classes, but all the other classes are still just as popular, then where do I fit them in? So yeah, again, that juggling act starts at that point for the following year as well, to kind of think about, well, what are we going to do?
Do you see any trends on what has become more popular and perhaps the opposite way, things which are dying off in popularity?
Yeah, so things like the piano classes are really, really popular, particularly the junior ones, whereas the adult ones, maybe there's not as many entries as there used to be. Like I say, with the juniors, with the singing classes, they really, really enjoy the songs from the shows classes, and they're really well attended. There's only one pop song class for the juniors, but again, that's got a lot of entries in it as well. The adult pop song classes are quite popular too. Things that are dropping off or have dropped off a little bit over the years, more of the adult singing classes, some of those are kind of maybe not as popular. I think maybe sometimes the music for those classes isn't as modern, so doesn't appeal to the younger generation. Plus, a lot of the juniors don't necessarily come back as seniors because maybe they leave the island, they go off to university, they get out of the habit of entering. What we did find straight after COVID was the entries were vastly down in that first couple of years, particularly on the junior spoken word and the junior solo classes where there's a set piece. But those have really picked up again in the past couple of years, which is fantastic. We're getting people entering that have never entered before, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to revamp the syllabus to make it easier to read. And what we've actually got in the syllabus this year is a section on how to actually enter, because it was an assumption that people knew how to enter the Guild, so all you needed was a list of rules and a list of classes. And what we've discovered, particularly this year, is that newer people coming in, if they haven't grown up with that tradition, don't know what to do. They're entering the class, and then about a week before the Guild, they're saying, well, oh, we need to do this, and can we do that, and can we do the other, that would have been dealt with if they knew how to enter. So we have put that how to enter bit and what to expect once the entry date closes, what we're then doing in the background to process your entry and pull the whole festival together. So that's what we're trying to appeal to more people, if that makes sense. It's interesting. We have, on the Manx Gaelic classes, the Bible reading ones haven't necessarily been as popular over recent years. We have revamped a couple of them. So we used to have sight reading classes in Manx, and what we've done with a couple of those is this year we've turned them into the Lord's Prayer in Manx. And we've also introduced Manx National Songbook classes this year as well. So we get suggestions from company members, from people who participate, from audience members, from people who've been around for a few years, or we think this might be good, why try that. And we bring them together in EGM, which is held about a month or so after each festival. And we look at the suggestions that have come in and we look at our own suggestions because we come up with classes too. And then we make a decision, do we want to go with that class or not? And where do we fit it in and what do we do? So we're trying to do a little bit more, particularly in 2026 for the year of Manx language as well. So you'll find in the programme, some of that will have Gaelic in it rather than just always in English. So there'll be something to try and appeal to that side of things as well.
And the syllabus itself, like the programme, has been revamped. It looks really classy, lovely colour cover, clearer to actually understand with the instructions you're talking about there. Do you find, and I'm assuming you can still do the paper entry, I'm guessing as year on year goes by, you get more online entries and fewer paper entries?
Yeah, absolutely. You get less and less paper entries each year. I think this year we had about 120 paper entries, which we then have to hand key in. Our entry secretary will put those in herself manually into the system. So most entries now are coming when people actually applying online. Either they're doing it on behalf of other people as a teacher or for a group, or they're doing it as individuals. It's easier for people to do it online because they can do it 24/7. We won't start to hand key a paper entry until the closing date anyway. So even if you submitted now on paper, we won't do anything with it until the start of February. But from our perspective, it's easier if you can manage it online. You can go back into your entries afterwards, even when it's closed, and you can view what you've done. You just can't submit any other classes. And that's where we pull our timetable from in terms of the what goes into the programme. So who's in what class and the order of the performers in each class. So yeah, it works really well. I prefer online, but then I work in digital, so I would do.
Oh, you're biased.
I am.
So any other major changes that people might notice when they pick up and see the syllabus this year?
I suppose the biggest change, more than anything, like you say, it's clear and everything. We've made it a bit bigger.
Yeah,
so
nice.
It was A5. We've gone for B5 this year. It doesn't look massively bigger, but if you had the two together, you'd see the difference in size.
I thought it looked a bit bigger, but yeah. I thought, oh, it's A5 still, isn't it? But
no, yeah, no, it's B5. B5. Yeah, we went for B5 just because A4 is too big, and obviously the programme's A4, so we didn't want to confuse between the two. But I just wanted it a bit bigger. We've modernised the font. I've made the line spacing a bit clearer, just so that it's easier for people to read. We've tried to change the layout a little bit as well to make it obvious if there's a time limit, you've got to use the official accompanist, all that kind of stuff. What we're probably going to do next year is remove the rules from the programme. So again, we've still got a lot of the rules in here and have those available online, because the next thing that we're doing, like we were talking before you started to record, we've revamped the programme. Now we've revamped the syllabus, the layout, the format. And we're also in the process now of revamping our full website. So if anyone's been to the Max Music Festival website, yes, I know it's out of date. I try and keep the opening paragraph up to date each year with what's happening. And I put the results on every year as well, after each class, well, at the end of each day. But we're going to try and take the rules out of the syllabus as well. So again, it becomes more about what are the classes I can enter and how do I enter, rather than, oh, well, you can only have two people in that particular class, or you can only appear once or whatever. That information you'll find then in detail on our website, which is what most other festivals around the UK seem to have on their website. So we're kind of taking inspiration from lots of different areas about what we think that should look like.
So a lot of the populars all still there. You say the songs from the shows, the piano, we heard a couple dropping out.
Yeah.
Any other new things? I think you mentioned Eurovision. Any other new classes being tried for the first time ever this year?
I suppose the ones that are new this year really are the ones where we've renamed a class. Yeah. So rather than the sight reading in Manx, we've gone for Lord's Prayer in Manx and the Manx National Songbook classes that we've put in as well. So not so many brand new classes as such, but just a few tweaks here and there. We're hosting the Cranmer Prayer Book competition again, although it's not our adjudicators, it's the Max Prayer Book Society that adjudicate that. But it seemed to work very well last year with us hosting it. It gave someone somewhere to put the entries in and somewhere to read everything and a venue. So that worked really, really well. It's a lot of the same and a few new bits as well.
Marvellous. Well, listen, we'll have a chat again closer to the time. Yep. The weeks will roll by very quickly, as they do.
Christmas is out of the way, that's me all the way down to April, you know.
That is it. But in the meantime, one more time, just reinforce anyone thinking, oh, yes, I was going to enter. When have they got to get in, by paper or online still this year? Take your pick. There is the paper form there, or as you say, online.
31st of January 2026.
Don't say we didn't warn you. It's a great event, of course, a Manx institution, nay. And a huge amount of work goes into organising it every year. So get your entries in now if you're a regular. Have a go for the first time if you've been thinking about it but have never tried. They're a friendly bunch. Or even if you aren't entering, do think about going along to watch some classes next year and give it your support.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Now, Jane Skillicorn, no stranger to this programme, with a hat as the Arts Council head on, now retired, of course, her successor at the Arts Council, Jim Rawson, has now been installed. We're hoping to have a chat with Jim, and as soon as we can tempt him up to the Spotlight studio, fingers crossed. But Jane is back in the studio already with another hat on. And a Christmassy top, as it turns out. Got to say, first off, people will recognise your voice, of course, ex from the Arts Council. You are enjoying a retirement. Funnily enough, the last interview we had together on Spotlight, talking about just before you retired, and you said, oh, no doubt, I'll be getting more involved in the arts and coming back to talk about arty things. Here you are.
And here I am. Here I am.
Doing arty things.
Doing arty things. Yes, lots of them. Particularly Christmas time is always a really busy time for arty people, particularly if you're a singer. Here to talk about the Shimmers. We have a concert, gig, whatever you want to call it, down at the Air and Arts Centre on Saturday the 20th of December.
Brilliant. So tell us about the Shimmers if people don't know the name or haven't heard it before. Who, what, where?
So the Shimmers. I'm very fortunate, very lucky to sing with my friends Paul Castain, who I know many people know, and Ruth Tickle, who's the current Cleveland medalist. And currently Chris Sullivan is with us as well, accompanied by Naomi Cole. And yes, we are the Shimmers. We're called the Shimmers because originally when we started singing as a quartet, Dr. John Snelling was with us.
Yep.
Dr. John has since left the island to retire and on to pastures new. But we were all at that point, we had all been taught by Eleanor Shimmin, the legendary
right.
Mrs. Shimmin.
And
that's where the name The Shimmers came from.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that, because you've got a lovely sparkly top on today. I thought maybe it's you're all dressed up, you know, in shimmering. Ooh,
well, we all like and love a bit of sparkle, but that's where the name came from.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. So
yes.
Eleanor Shimmin, yes, one of the foremost piano teachers and music teachers and singing teachers, and still going, I think. I don't know if she's still teaching. But
no, she doesn't teach anymore, but she's still about and still as amazingly wonderful as she ever is.
There must be thousands of people, myself included, who went through Eleanor's doors for piano
lessons. But that's where we came up with the name. I think we actually came up with it. We were entering in the Guild as a quartet, and that's what we all had in common.
Right.
How
long has it been going?
We've been going a little while now. I'm going to say a good probably 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
And we've sang at all sorts. We were certainly all together singing as a quartet as the Shimmers before COVID. So yes, a good 5, 6, 7 years. And we've sang at all sorts of things. I think the highlight being we sang for Princess Anne at Tynwald. That year when there was no guild, so the Cleveland Medalist wasn't there, and we were asked to sing then. But we've sang at all sorts of places, all sorts of events. And last year we were asked by the Air and Arts to do a concert down there at Christmas time. And we did a Victorian Christmas style concert, which was great fun. Great fun. We researched Victorian carols and poems and dressed up in Victorian finery, did all of that. This year, we have gone for a Christmas cruise.
Yeah, intrigued.
Theme, yes. So it's really around the world in, I won't say 80 carols because there aren't 80 carols, but around the world in lots of carols, lots of Christmas music, some of which is traditional, some of which won't be particularly familiar to audiences. But we have got songs from the Isle of Man. We've got songs from Scandinavia, the Americas, Australia. It's traditional and modern around the world. And I think carols are such an essential part of Christmas that it's always great to hear them and just, you know, really set your Christmas up that
Absolutely.
Way. And I know not everybody goes to church to sing or goes to a formal carol service. So this is really a fun approach to carols just right before Christmas. And we love doing it. We have great fun rehearsing down at Paul's farm. We'd love people to come along.
Brilliant. So something for everyone. Not like I said, it's not going to be a whole evening of ding dong and such like by the sound of it. There might be some you know, but there'll be quite a few you probably don't know.
Yeah, and it's not it's not highbrow at all. You know, there's some fun songs, and the theme of it is a cruise.
I'm liking it. A cruise around the world with a festive theme with Christmas songs from around the world. Lovely stuff, and some of the best singers on the island, which is terrific as well. So it's down at the Air and Arts Centre. Tell us exactly when then, what time it starts, the day it's on, and how people get those tickets if they want to go along.
So it's Saturday the 20th of December at 7:30 at the Air and Arts Centre. And you can just get your tickets by popping on to the Air and Arts Centre's website, and you'll see it there. They've got a list of what's on in the coming weeks. And we're there, the Shimmers.
Brilliant. The Shimmers will have a lovely concert. A very happy
Thank
Christmas
you.
To you.
You too.
And you've got more things planned for 2026.
Oh,
the musical
yes.
Front.
Lots going on. I'm singing with the Festival Chorus
Excellent.
In January with Ruth again. And then, of course, I guess the Guild entries.
It'll be here before you know it.
Yes. So, yes, lots going on.
Excellent. Talk again soon.
Thank you.
Sounds like it'd be a great night, bound to be a great bunch of singers there and a lovely venue at the EAC. Fun, very Christmassy. Go along, say hello, or just sing along. Now, we heard from Rob Cowley, the accidental author, a week or two back, who sent some lovely pictures in the last couple of days to me from the prize presentation for his latest project, The Big Book of Magical Manx Tales, which happened on Saturday. It's the one where all the kids' stories have been published by Rob, with illustrations by the kids as well. He says it was a lovely event attended by over 120 family and friends. Everyone seems really happy with the big book. I imagine they would, Rob. That looks fantastic. 200 of the 400 copies printed already sold. Pretty good going. All money raised going to good causes, as is always the case with all of Rob's books. So well done for that. If you do want a copy, however, they are around and about the Big Book of Magical Manx Tales in Douglas, the Mostly Manx Shop, the Book Company Shop, the Manx Museum Shop in Ramsey, the Bridge Bookshop, Peel, the Mananan Music Shop, Port Erin, the Bridge Bookshop. And then you can also, on the 12th of December, Tesco Little Switzerland store. They'll have a table there. Rob will be around, I imagine. 16th of December, Tesco Little Switzerland in Onken. 19th of December, Tesco in the Ramsey store. And 21st of December, the Big Riverside store in Douglas, Tesco's. You will see a table there and you can get your copy, supporting some great Manx causes and a super Christmas book for children. Finally, this evening we heard of the rather exciting and ambitious project to create the first Manx language opera last week, brainchild of composer and Talis Consort director of music Matthew Warren. Before he left the studio, I had more questions for him about the style of the opera. So the language, the libretto, as you say, will be in the Manx Gaelic. The music itself, as you say, which you're going to hear the words first and then take it from there. But obviously, if people think of Manx music, there's not a sort of, so much of a classical tradition. People think of traditional Manx music being more on the folkier side of things. So do you perceive it being more of a folk opera, or are you thinking of it being more a grand opera in the classical sense?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much planning to write in my normal style of writing classical music. So I write kind of contemporary classical music with an emphasis on kind of lyric and melody. I especially write stuff for choir, and so it's kind of, there's always an element of singability, of sense making of words. And that's very much style I'm going to be pursuing. So this is kind of intended to be a new departure, a new milestone, if you like, in the journey of Manx music, Manx culture, and what's on our kind of cultural palette. And so for that, I really want to create something that's just with a very kind of open, classical, operatic voice, because I don't think the language needs necessarily to be tied to the folk music. It's a rich and wonderful folk music tradition. I've kind of worked with Culture of Annan on projects to do with the folk music before. But here, what I'm trying to do is create something that's kind of a departure from what's gone before. And so I'm really keen to just allow the full range of operatic expression for the text, because Manx is a wonderfully lyrical language. One of my first exposures to Manx was hearing Ruth Keggin read a poem in Manx. And first of all, she read it in English, and I was like, oh, that's a nice poem. And then she read it in Manx, and it just came alive, and I just could hear these melodies and this kind of lyricism coming out of the language. And that's what I really want to capture. So it's an opportunity to listen to the language in a new way, and to kind of allow what is an entirely new form of expression to kind of grow out of that language.
And of course, as you say, no real tradition of opera at all on the Isle of Man. In fact, you know, you struggle if you're an opera fan to see me. And again, we sometimes get a little bit of performances from opera and some of the screenings, but clearly not opera per se, normally performed on a regular basis on the Isle of Man, seen as being pretty large scale, you know. So I assume you're thinking more sort of Fidelio than Wagner's Ring or something. Is it more on the sort of, I think you used the word chamber before, so I take it it's not going to be a full-on massive cast, and
yeah,
it's going to be something a bit more modest.
Yes, let's say I've put in place certain creative limitations.
Yes.
First and foremost, the objective from the beginning was to have it performed, and there are very practical things you can do as a composer to make sure that what you're composing is feasible to realise. And I absolutely think there's the scope at some point to do something of a kind of grand scale. But what I wanted to do was find a way to explore the genre in a way that kind of was a manageable project for me, basically, to to run. And so, yes, I've planned it out to be a chamber opera with a very limited, a very small cast of performers. So it will be just six performers in total, four of them the ensemble and two of them stage performers. And so the idea being there that actually you can get one of the qualities I think we often miss out on in the large-scale opera and the kind of opera we get screened in a place like the Air and Arts Centre from you know, the Met opera and things. What we get from there is this huge scale, but you feel a great distance from the drama, from the performers, from the character. And what I really see as an opportunity with scaling down opera is to feel very close to the performers, very close to the drama, very close to the story. And also to hear that language in a more intimate way. Because opera, kind of classically, you think of, you know, someone holding opera glasses or something and being very far away from the musicians. And there's this idea that it's kind of something that lives all over there. And I think that's something that bleeds into our impression in culture as well. We have this idea that, it's something that lives over there and I don't really think about it. But opera is something intensely personal, human, and about telling stories with a wide range of expressive palette. And so the closer we can get to that, in my view, the better. So yes, a performable, but hopefully intimate and emotionally moving performance as well.
And tied in with the Year of the Manx Language?
Yeah, so the idea for the Manx opera kind of predated even me being aware that the Year of Manx Language was coming up. But it's worked out wonderfully because it's a chance to create a kind of milestone project with a legacy that can be part of that celebration. I think that's a really wonderful thing to be able to be tied into, and certainly kind of everyone I've spoken to who's working on the Year of the Manx Language is very enthusiastic about the performance, and of course that's what carries this kind of project through. A big project like this in the arts doesn't just happen by the will of the artist alone. It's you have to have those people saying, oh, this is a cool idea, you should definitely do this, I'd love to come and see this. So all that support and that's been really really wonderful from the organisers of the Year of Manx Language as well, and the keenness to see it come to fruition has really been driving this through.
So have you set yourself then a timescale for the project?
Yeah, so the plan is to basically know where we're at funding-wise by the beginning of January, and then from there to kind of be able to scope out a bit more kind of what the feasibility of the project is and how we're going to make it happen. I've no doubt we'll make it happen in some way, but we've just got to see what that looks like. And then from January to March, I'm going to be working on the composition of the opera itself. There are composers I know who would be flinching at that timescale, but I'm sure it will be fine. it'll be an intense period of work, but I'm really excited about getting stuck into it because I think it's been so much anticipation for so long. And then after that, I'm going to be working with performers on rehearsing, on devising aspects of the performance, and then to premiere in autumn of next year. We still have to fix a date down for that. Again, that will just depend on kind of scoping out the project properly. But so that's the intention for the premiere to be in the autumn of next year of the Year of the Manx Language. Mm-hmm. After that, there are great hopes for the project. So the idea is to create a project that has a real legacy, a real lasting impact. And what I'd like to do is to use that premiere as a chance to create a professional standard production that is ready to tour. So what I'd love to do is to take that production after the premiere in 2027 to opera festivals, to Celtic festivals, to basically exhibit, the Manx language on a different stage internationally.
Are you looking for help with it in any form, whether it's artistic or whether it's practical or whether it's financial? And if so, is there a contact or a website or anything people can find out more about the project?
Absolutely, yeah. So there are all sorts of ways in which help and support is valuable. First of all, as I already said, any kind of messages of support are always very welcome. If you're keen on the project, let me know, because that's something I can share with others. And the more we can build an excitement around the project, the better it will be, because that's really what keeps the project going. As I said, we're also looking at funding in the next over the next month and a half to kind of have our funding in place by January. And as well as pursuing all the normal funding application channels, we are in the midst of a crowdfunding campaign at the moment. So if anyone kind of feels this is an exciting project and something I'd like to support, then you can donate directly to the production of the opera. And you can do that you can find out more details at matthewwarren.info, and that has links to the opera, which is called Kalyach. And from there, you can find links to the GoGet funding page, which will tell you how you can donate to the project. Donations of all sizes are very welcome. So whatever you can afford is very, very welcome and is really helpful to moving this project towards happening. And apart from anything, again, any kind of donation to the crowdfunding campaign is a really wonderful vote of confidence. So that's something we can go to funding bodies with and say, look, people want this to happen. They're willing to put their money behind it. Will you join them?
And happily, people on the island are getting behind the project. Delighted to hear it's also received backing from Culture Vannon. But of course, these projects just eat funds. So if you'd like to get behind it, he would be delighted. Do get in touch. It will make sure that it comes to fruition in a timely fashion, and we look forward to hearing more about the Manx Opera in 2026. That's about it for this week, though. We'll be back next week when we'll hear about a panto in the north, but after Christmas. Oh, yes, it is. See you then. In the meantime, be good, whatever you're doing. Of course, be creative about it. Hey, Mo.